All right, ladies and gentlemen, what's good? This is Jake Myers over at Jake's Takes. This is a very special one because this happens to be the very first episode in this podcast's very short history. And the purpose of Jake's Takes, it's a space where I connect with various sports and entertainment professionals from around the country or even around the world and just talk about their roles and what they do, what's new, network with them, and at the end of the day, just talk some sports. We all love sports. Sports is a huge business, and so that's what I'm here to do today. That's my goal of this podcast, and today it's very special to me in another way because very fittingly, I have one of my best friends and actually a former coworker of mine as well, Chase Richardson. He's currently the manager of business development over at Mean Green Sports Properties and at the University of North Texas. If I got that right, Chase. And
you got it right.
Chase, pleasure to have you on. How are you?
Thank you, Jake. Pleasure to be here. Honored to be the first guest. I don't know how many people you asked before me and that said no, but I am honored. I'm doing great. Doing great on a Friday night.
No, that's great to hear. You know, it's finally Friday. That's awesome, man. Well, why don't we kick things off? You know, tell us about where you're from, where you went to school, and you know, what you do in your current role.
Yeah, I grew up in the North Texas area, just outside of Dallas. Went out to Florida, to the University of Florida for college. Right after graduation, came back to where I was from, interned with a minor league hockey team that ended up turning into a full-time job, and that's where I met Jake. And fast forward 5-6 years later, I'm now at the University of North Texas, manager of business development for Mean Green Sports Properties. We're a division of Learfield, so I'm technically not a North Texas employee. I'm subcontracted in a way from Learfield to UNT, but I'm all Mean Green now. My wife loves it because she's an alum of North Texas, and every time we have a game, I gotta take her with me.
No, that's huge. I'm sure that's a very nice perk, isn't it?
Definitely nice. Be close to family as well, but to have a personal interest too in your job. You're not in some, you know, area where you didn't grow up or where you have no emotional ties to. So it's nice to have that extra aspect.
That's very great. That's very great. No, just to tie it, you know, to sort of go back to going to all the games and working all the games. I saw that you and your wife, y'all met Cam Ward. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that was I think the last basketball game I was at. Cam Ward, I got word of about an hour or so before the game that he was going to, hypothetically, we didn't know for certain, no one saw him, but he was supposed to be at the game. Our football head coach, Coach Morris, used to be the head coach at University of Incarnate Word and then the offensive coordinator at Washington State, and took Cam with him at both stops before he, you know, ended up his college career at Miami. So they're very close. They've kept in touch since he'd been at Miami. He took him to the Heisman ceremony with him, which was very cool. And so I believe Cam was in the area for some award ceremony or a bowl game, and just happened to come by to our game. So we got to meet him, talk to him for a little bit. Very nice guy. I'm hopeful he goes first in the draft.
Yeah, man. I think it's going to come down to either Shadur or Cam. Just the other day, I was watching a video of them working together at SMU, actually, where I went to school. I thought that was crazy. Two of the top quarterbacks in the draft training at my alma mater at the football center. So, apparently they're very tight off the field, so it's, you know, it's very cool to see. But yeah, we'll see what goes on. They're two very, very good quarterbacks, very good players. So yeah, it should be an exciting draft indeed.
Yeah, and earlier before that, they Shador was at least training at North Texas for the East-West Shrine Bowl, which was played, you know, at Cowboy Stadium, but practicing all at UNT's indoor practice facility. So we had Deion Sanders there, Billy Napier, the head coach of Florida, came in there. Bunch of other coaches and players from across the country were training there. So I didn't go to witness practice firsthand, but I had friends and coworkers that, you know, sat in and watched, and they were like, this is really cool. It's really cool to have it at where we work at our university.
That's amazing. And it's good exposure for the schools too, I think.
Definitely.
because when you're scrolling through Instagram or LinkedIn or Facebook and you see Cam Ward or Shador, any of those high profile draft prospects working out at, in our case, our schools, it's just, yeah, it's great because it's a very rare opportunity.
Definitely. And after the practices and everything, I heard that we had on social media over 1 billion impressions from all the coverage, all the social media coverage that we received from the East-West Shrine Bowl.
That's very cool. You get some of the top talent in the country gathering at that bowl and at the Senior Bowl. So it's great y'all got that opportunity and that kind of exposure. So I'm happy for y'all. Well, going back to your role a little bit, tell us about you may have alluded to it a bit, so I apologize. But what is the normal day to day and will look like?
Yeah, so I help bring in sponsorships for UNT Athletics, every sport from football to softball. So day to day depends on the time of year. When we're in the fall, we're in activation mode. You know, there's no selling. We work the games, all football games, and pretty much all men's basketball games. But we're activating any in-game elements, signage pieces, social media, you name it. We're also entertaining. So we're entertaining all of our clients. So if somebody wants to come out and enjoy a football game, you know, we invite them out to one of our suites, fully stock it, you know, with food and alcohol and other drinks, and just have a good time. And then the same thing goes for basketball. We invite them out. If they're, you know, the sponsor of the game or the partner of the game, we have a nice little court presentation, give them a signed basketball from our head coach, and then, you know, just have a good time. So I really like the activation part. And then shifting into right around this time of year when we get into, you know, winter, spring, and summer, we're in selling mode. So we're renewing our clients, our current clients, and bringing in, you know, new prospects, new clients for next season. So that's when, you know, you're in more of an attack mode. You get to plan and create new ideas, which are great. I'm trying to, you know, add my mark of being in my second year at North Texas. I want to add some new ideas, some new fresh blood to our already great list of partners, and also just want to strengthen the relationships. That's the other key part. What I've learned quickly with this job is if you don't have a good relationship with your partners, they may not want to come back. They may not care. They may just see you as a business transaction. You want to actually make it feel like your friends, or that you can call on them whenever you need them.
No, absolutely. That's such a huge mindset to have, especially, you know, especially in the sports and entertainment industry where, you know, you may not be home as much as you like. It can get really demanding, especially when you're working pretty much a season on top of a season. Like, you know, You're in football, 12 game season plus a bowl game, and then you shift gears almost immediately to basketball.
Right, and thankfully I don't have to worry about baseball though. We're, you know, one of the largest universities I think that doesn't have a baseball team. So once basketball season ends, that's it until football starts. We haven't had a baseball team since I want to say the late 80s, which, I mean, would take up a lot more of my spring and summer. So I am thankful that I do have that extra time to, you know, go out and sell and connect with our current partners.
That's awesome. And, you know, just to kind of piggyback off of that, you know, what kind of, or I guess I should say, who do you specifically work with in terms of partnerships, and what makes a partnership successful in your role? You may have already touched on that a bit. If you don't mind, dive into that a little more.
Yeah, we work, you know, with just about any business you can think of, you know, from insurance companies to dealerships to local mom and pop restaurants to large companies like Coca-Cola, Dos Equis, Cinemark. So we work with just about everybody. And mostly, you know, it is just to let them have a good time when they're coming out to the game. But then, you know, also delivering on whatever their objective is. So if their objective is to, you know, raise brand awareness, we'll focus more on signage. If their objective is to generate, you know, leads, you know, we'll do maybe a social media campaign where, like, for example, Cinemark is one of my bigger clients. And we did a social media campaign that ran for a little over a month so that somebody could win like a year's movie pass with them, Cinemark Movie Club, and then we turn over all that information to them, and they can, you know, add them to their email list, you know, things like that. So it's really up to the client's objective.
That's so cool, and it's, to me, that's a little funny because, you know, you used to work at Cinemark.
Yeah, it was full circle. That was my first job in high school, so definitely some personal heartstrings right there working with them, and that's what helped motivate me to sell them, is that I could relate. I know they have a big objective and mission to have their employees work various roles in the company. So I could speak directly about how to scoop popcorn or how to, you know, properly clean a theater, things like that. So yeah, that was a fun one to work on.
That's awesome. I'm glad you got him on board. That sounds like a great partnership, and one that I believe would be mutually beneficial.
Definitely. And students and people of all ages really love to go to the movies. So yeah, why not promote the best brand out there?
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, just kind of going back off of what you were touching on in your day-to-day duties, having been in sales, working with you at the Americans, you know, just you hear all the time in sports that there's no off season, the grind never stops. I'd say for those who may be considering getting into sales, the jobs that you and I have worked in, that may sound cliche, but it's very true.
It is, and you definitely have to get used to, you know, hearing no's. I mean, not everything can be a winner, especially, you know, if you're working in ticket sales, you can't sell everyone those big fancy seats. If you're working in sponsorships like me, you're not every client is going to be, or every prospect is going to be, you know, a deal or six-figure deal or however large you're trying to sell. You just got to get used to saying no, and you got to just keep on grinding.
Yeah, that's right. So just going back a little, you mentioned you went to Florida, you interned at the Americans, and now you're at UNT. I'm just looking back on your career. What were some key experiences or milestones that helped you get to where you are now?
Sure. I think definitely, I mean, it was my first job out of college, but working at the All-Americans, I definitely helped shape my professional career. You know, I started off as an intern, like I said, worked my way into ticket operations, and then added ticket sales, and then finally sponsorships before I left. So just wearing many hats there, you know, exposed me to what I liked and what I didn't like, which eventually, you know, steered me to Learfield and UNT. And so I'm very thankful for that experience there. I worked with probably, I think I did the math, and there was 30 different ticket reps. I had three different, you know, VPs of ticketing. I had a couple different sponsorship VPs, four different presidents and two different ownership groups. So yeah, I burned through a lot of people when I was there, but I'm very thankful for that opportunity. It definitely shaped me to my current role.
That's great to hear. Just looking back on the Americans, sure, I echo the same sentiment. Just the thankful part, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of turnover, but just working with you, working with Jake and Ashley and Julia, all of them, it provided some experiences, both personally and professionally, that I still carry with me, that I still look back on, that I still treasure. So just during COVID, I'm very happy that I ran into that job. And after so many rejections, Johnny was the one who gave me the opportunity. Of course, having the Minnesota connection really helped, but I'm with you there. Very thankful. I had to wear several hats as well, just because I was used to being in just sales and then shifting to sales and servicing your own clients, much like you did. It's definitely opens up for some more opportunities, and it was a great resume builder.
Right, and that's definitely probably the biggest difference between, you know, working minor league and, you know, college, or, you know, professional, larger, you know, professional leagues, whatever you want to call it, is that you have to wear many hats when you work minor league. You don't have that luxury of having, you know, 100 people working with you. You may have to, you know, put on the mascot costume and work, you know, at an elementary school function, you know, in the middle of May or June, whenever I did it. I did that my second day at my internship. Not what I foresaw doing, you know, when I took a sales internship with the hockey team. So yeah, you just got to get uncomfortable and get used to wearing many different hats, and maybe you find a new role that you like. I didn't initially anticipate getting into sponsorships. That was something that our old boss, Johnny Mydra, said, hey, why don't you take a stab at this? You seem pretty, you know, confident at everything else. So I'm thankful he did it. It helped steer me to my current role.
That's great. Johnny's a great guy. He gave me he gave me a couple leadership opportunities with interviewing new candidates and taking the lead on some season ticket member events as well. And he's a great guy. So Johnny, if you're listening, this is my little thank you to you. But it's funny you mentioned the mascot, because when I interned at the Legends, I had to wear the mascot a couple times. I did that once at the Americans too. And I remember when I was at the Americans, I had to work the Harley Davidson event, and I had to wear the biscuit costume. And
I had to work that as well. Yeah.
And of course, it's July in Texas in the middle of the day. Never again.
Hey, hats off to everybody that's ever been a mascot. I can't do it. Especially the ones that, you know, have the cheaper suits that don't have any, you know, fans or any cooling equipment in there. I don't know how you do it for hours on end. My cousin actually is one of the mascots for Vanderbilt. Shout out to him. I don't know how he does it. I think he's got a pretty nice suit though over there.
That's good. Those are huge. You don't think much about it until you're actually in the suit on one of the hottest days. Right. Part of figuring out what you want to do is figuring out what you don't want to do. And I learned very quickly that I don't want to be a mascot.
Right. Exactly. Check that box off. My second day.
Me too, man. Me too. Great stuff. Well, You know, going back to your role at UNT, what are some of your goals professionally and personally?
Yeah, professionally wise, we're handed goals at work. So obviously I have sales goals, but for me professionally, it's just to, you know, grow as a sponsorship seller. It's my fourth year doing it. So just a couple of years in. Just trying to land that big fish and make your mark. I thought I made my mark at the Allen Americans, and I'd love to do so at a large university like North Texas. Bring in, you know, a cool prospect or client, and just make something memorable. Add possibly a tradition, you know, to their football games or basketball games, anything like that. So professionally, just try and make my mark somehow. And then personally, just want to grow as a person. I got married, you know, a little over a year ago. So shout out to my wife, Ashley, if she's listening, and just have, you know, enough money on the personal side to get a house, grow over there, and then, you know, eventually have a family there.
That's exciting. I know that's going to work out very well for you. Building off of that, it's so easy to think about the paycheck and the commission, because it's great to have goals. It's great to have bonuses. We need to get paid. It's what pays the rent. It's what puts food on the table. But just to add to what you said, I remember my one of my old bosses, Malcolm Farmer at the Texas Legends. Shout out to you, Malcolm. I'm just figuring, how can you provide value to an organization? Just that's and sometimes that may be doing what's outside of your job description. Going right back to the mascot thing, you and I both had to wear the mascot suit. It wasn't in our job description. It was tough. You know, just at the end of the day, it's always about finding ways to bring value to the organization, and then just also setting people up for great experiences and great memories with their families or their employees or their clients. And, you know, just it sounds like, you know, that's a huge part with what y'all do at UNT with your partners and with any season ticket members or groups.
Entertaining our partners is one of the core foundations, I would say, at UNT. We're actually in 2 weeks, we're doing a partner event. My boss has preached that from day one to me, and I've definitely taken it to heart. So we're doing, you know, a crawfish boil at a place called the Sheriff's Posse, which is big in the Denton County area. So we're inviting all of our partners out to that, just to hang out and have a good time. And that's not in the job description. That's not an initiative from corporate. That's just something that, you know, we have to do to make our partners, you know, feel valued and show that, you know, that we care. It's not all transactional. This is a partnership. That's why I prefer to use the term partners rather than sponsors.
Exactly right. It's kind of like season tickets, in the sense that some people, a lot of people, especially fans, they'll say season ticket holders.
Right.
And having worked in sales and service, you got to get used to saying season ticket members, right? Because when you're a season ticket holder, it's like you're just holding something. But
right,
when you're a season ticket member, you get the client to feel like, oh, I'm actually a part of something. I'm actually a part of something huge, bigger than myself, or a family. I know that's super cliche. A lot of teams use the word family, but it's true. And people can think of it as semantics, but especially in our business, language matters.
Yeah, it's the little things that make the difference.
Definitely. And what keeps you motivated and passionate about your job? And especially when the job can get demanding. I know I previously mentioned, you know, it can get super demanding at times, and, you know, just what helps you stay passionate, stay focused, and stay motivated?
I would say just the love of sports, really. I mean, I know that's a very basic answer, but as you know, personally, Myers, I'm a huge college football fan, huge sports fan overall. So just being able to, you know, love what you do every day. And if I was in, you know, accounting or some other industry that I didn't have a personal passion for, I probably wouldn't be as motivated. So to be in an industry where you actually love what you do and you love to see the end product on the field or on the court or wherever, that's what gets me up every day.
That's great. That's awesome. And just, yeah, it's you know, you hear the old saying, if you enjoy what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. And I'm kind of leaning towards the disagreeing part of that saying, just because, like, you know, you love what you do, but it can get demanding, because, you know,
true,
being in sports, sometimes you have to sacrifice holidays, you have to sacrifice weekends, some time with friends, family, but in that sense it does get demanding. That's where the work part of it comes in, but it's huge when you're passionate about what you do and you care about it, and it sounds like that's the case with you, and that's always a good thing, really good thing.
Right. Setting up for a football game isn't the most glamorous thing or really what I want to be doing, but to see the end results, you know, on that Saturday of all your partners coming out, friends, family, whomever it is, just having a good time, you know, really shows that all those hours prior to setting up bike racks or bringing out beer or whatever it may be to set up our tailgate area or our suites, you know, it's the payoff, you know, on game day is what you see.
That's right. It's the end result that counts, especially when people may not realize the work that goes on behind the scenes. I can relate to that a bit because I was the soccer and basketball manager, soccer for 4 seasons, basketball for 1 at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I did basketball in the same capacity when I was at SMU. And people, understandably so, they, you know, all eyes are on the players and the coaches and just seeing what they do on the field and on the court. But it's just having done that myself, I have such an appreciation for the jobs that may go unnoticed, the thankless ones, because it's such a huge part of the machine. When you're at a basketball game as a manager and, you know, you see players fall on the ground, you gotta wipe up sweat, which, like you said, with setting up the football games, it's not the most glamorous job. It's not the job that everybody wants to be doing, but it's huge. It's huge in preventing injuries and just in keeping the court clean. And that's such a huge thing for the fan experience. People may not realize that because, I mean, if nobody's there to wipe up sweat, you know, you see guys sliding all around the court and getting hurt, and nobody likes to see that. And with the football games that you help set up, it looks really cool at the end and very presentable.
Right, and being, you know, the business side of sports, you have that appreciation for the little people, everybody from mascot, ticket sales, sponsorship, media, whomever it is. And with the ups and downs, I mean, look at the Mavericks. They just traded, you know, away Luka Doncic the other day. And I feel bad for those ticket sales reps, you know, that
me too.
Those young guys that just got out of college that got to pick up the phone and make a cold call the day after a big trade like that and convince somebody to commit to season tickets for them. And that's a hard ask to do.
Yeah, as soon as that trade broke, I wasn't really thinking about the teams or even Luka specifically. All due respect to him. The people on my mind were the sales and service reps. It's something that they probably didn't want to get up the next day and do, make those cold calls and call their season ticket members, just check in on them, and that's all that they have to hear throughout the week, and maybe next week as well, as the Luka trade this, the Luka trade that. And that's got to be so frustrating. I went through something similar when I was at Sporting, and it, you know, you can understand to a degree how those fans feel, right? I mean, I'm a Mavs guy myself. I wasn't a huge fan of the trade, but you know, I get it. It's a business, and you feel bad for those reps because, like,
there's not really a defense or an explanation for it. You can always say, "Hey, we're just growing as a team." You have, and I have. We both tried to sell or attempted to sell losing teams. If your team's not doing well, you can always say there's always next year. But when you lose a player of that magnitude, that's a harder sell. It's a harder sell to ask someone to do.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I think it got to the point at which, if I understand this correctly, the Mavericks, they refunded their season ticket members for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's what I read as well. Anyone that called in and wanted a refund, they honored it, which you don't really see in sports unless there's some sort of catastrophic incident or COVID type of occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird though. I mean, but I do wish Luka the best. He's a great player. I've enjoyed watching him for years. I gotta hold on to my Luka shirt a little tighter now. But it's so weird seeing him in purple and gold for the Lakers, isn't it?
I'm not gonna watch a game with him there. I had season tickets growing up to the Mavericks. My last year there was with season tickets was 2011, the year they won the title. So I'll always be a Mavs fan, but. Something like that, I just can't watch. I can't see a player that was one of our own in that purple and gold. I could never see Dirk if he wore another jersey. Too hard.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And I remember when Luka came into the league, and it was I think he came in during or before Dirk's last year. It was kind of a lot of people saw it, rightfully so, a changing of the guard.
Yep.
Just, you know, you fast forward to now, and we all thought Luka was going to be the guy.
Definitely. I mean, I see billboards driving to and from work saying, thank you, Luka. I've seen posts on social media from local restaurants saying, we miss you, Luka. So definitely had a, in a short time here, had a huge impact on the city and DFW as a whole.
At least Luka can't be labeled a traitor because he was traded, so he can't be a traitor. Yeah. Oh man, I think everybody in Dallas or the whole league was blindsided. That was some crazy stuff. To sort of switch gears a bit, networking, it's a huge component in our industry. You know that, I know that, Ashley knows that. How have you built and maintained relationships with, you talked about your partners, but your prospects, any sports connections in the area, anybody like them?
Yeah. So on a day-to-day side, we're a member, you know, of the Denton Chamber. So any events that they have, you know, I try to attend, whether it's, you know, a morning function or a mixer at our basketball game, you know, things like that. But more on the sports side of things is what's fortunate being an employee of Learfield is we represent, you know, 100, 150 other schools. And so we're very well connected with a bulk of the major universities. And every Monday, we have a call with a couple other colleges that our vice president represents. So we have Texas State and Rice on the call, guys in the same position as me at those universities. So you get to bounce ideas off each other, you know, talk about who you're talking to and things like that. And other schools like SMU and TCU in the area are also Learfield properties. So I know I have a couple friends at each of those schools, and it's nice to bounce ideas off them. Or if, like earlier this week, I was at TCU for a basketball game. West Virginia was in town, and my in-laws are West Virginia fans from West Virginia. So we got to go to that. I got the connection there, so I got the hookup for tickets. So it's nice, you know, to build both a professional and a personal relationship with guys at multiple universities.
Great. Networking is huge. I remember when I first got out of college, my mom told me just how important networking is, and those are very true words, especially in sports. I mean, I'm out of, currently, like I started State Farm on Monday, but I'm still want to stay involved and stay connected. I still have my sports connections just because, you know, the relationships I've built, and it's a fun industry, and it's huge to stay in touch, and it's got to be a huge benefit for you and I'm sure your coworkers just having other Learfield properties in the area.
Definitely, those connections, you know, matter, you know, forever. You could be working with somebody, you know, at a minor league team, and one day they might be running New York Yankees or Dallas Cowboys or whatever team it is. So yeah, to maintain that connection with them, if they have a job opening, you'd be one of the first calls they make for that job, for that opening. It's huge. And to have, you know, 150 schools with Learfield, I, you know, want to move to Florida one day and there's an opening in Gainesville. Being a Learfield employee already, I might be on that short list to fill that new role.
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I'd be excited for you. I think that would be the perfect role for you, but don't move too far away now. I don't like flying.
I'm staying put for now, definitely. I mean, Ashley doesn't want to leave the DFW area, and I'm very happy at North Texas. I've only been here a year, so I don't see myself going anywhere for a while.
Oh, awesome, awesome. hey, it's got to be nice though to head back to Gainesville. You know, every here and there, right? I still gotta visit Spurrier's, the restaurant. I hear that's good stuff.
Yeah, we actually had season tickets last year. A friend of mine was also a fellow graduate. He graduated a couple years after me, so he was able to qualify for recent grad status. So him and I split season tickets, and we made it out to two games. We went to the Miami game week one, and then we went to the LSU game in November, which, as you know, my personal feelings towards LSU and my time as a student, always bad blood between those two. So that was a great game. We won. Prior to the game, we went out to Spurrier's and had a great dinner. Spurrier got on the mic and basically said, let's storm the field if we win. He's calling for a riot, which is very Spurrier-esque, if you know much about him. Mm-hmm. And we did win, like I said, but nobody was brave enough to be that first soul on the field. But we were ready. Ash and I made our way down into the student section, ready to go if somebody took that leap. No, nobody wanted to get tackled by the cops or arrested. We didn't storm the field or storm the swamp, however, whatever you call it.
Well, I mean, hey, y'all got the win. Y'all got the win against LSU, and I think, you know, just that was that, if I remember correctly, that was the game that changed the whole trajectory of the season, right? I think Florida was 5-5 at that point.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that was definitely the big turning point to have that last, you know, bit of surge at the end of the season there. I think we broke off, I want to say, a 4-game winning streak that may have kicked that off.
Yeah, and it's I'm sure it was a huge bonus to you, at least to you, and I'm sure a lot of other alums and fans that it came at the expense of LSU.
Definitely. It's always great being a rival.
Yeah, those are the best games. But while we're on the topic of college sports, what's NIL's been around for a little while. I'd love to hear from you, you know, just how sports have evolved over the years with NIL. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Where do you see it going in the next 2 years?
Sure. I'm a huge, you know, fan of the players getting paid. However, as I think anyone listening knows, is it's unchecked.
Yeah.
Meaning anyone can make any kind of money. There's no loyalty. We lost at UNT. We lost pretty much our entire basketball team from last year. They went to, you know, other schools. I'm sure they got nice deals at those schools. But it sucks. It sucks when you're at a group of five or group of six school. You lose a lot of your guys to the bigger schools. Football, we lost our starting quarterback. He transferred to Virginia. And I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure all these guys, you know, are getting big money going to these other schools. It hurts on that front. But from a player standpoint, you know, I love that they're finally getting paid. Personally, it made it so that the college football video game came back. I'm a huge fan of that game. I was growing up. So it's great to see that. But for work wise, it makes it tricky. It makes it tricky when you're talking to a large company and they want to promote the school or get behind the school, but your quarterback leaves or your star point guard leaves. There's not as much loyalty anymore with schools, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, I'm all for players being compensated, and because, like, they're such a huge part of the revenue stream, and there's a bit of a personal side to it, because, like, a lot of them have kids. A lot of them came from nothing pretty much. And so just being able to provide for their families with that money, and whether that's feeding their kids or buying their moms a new car or a new house. Like I've seen a few of them do that. I think Travis Hunter did that. I might be wrong on that, but I think it was him. But anyways, just seeing players do that and just give back. I love that. I love that for them. But, you know, there's got to be some regulations to that. And so, yeah, I'm with you there. I remember I saw an Instagram post a little while back. I think it was a guy from Colorado, and the caption was, I don't remember his name, but he signed a $2 million deal to go to Colorado, something like that. I had to blink for a second because I was just like, no, this isn't NFL. This is college. And you used to not see that. It's to your point. There's hardly any loyalty, it seems like.
And I think in about, you know, 10, probably maybe 20 years from now, when these guys are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, however old they are, and it's time for them to, you know, give back to a school, I don't think you're really going to see that, because so-and-so may have started at North Texas and then worked their way to Oklahoma and then maybe over to Ohio State. There's not really a loyalty to that school. I mean, they may be loyal to wherever they ended up last, but when it's time to give back to the university, who are you going to give it to?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a lot to figure out, indeed. And I feel kind of bad for the group of five schools. Thank goodness SMU we had a great last year in the American, at least football wise. I'm winning the American, but I'm glad we're in the ACC. Definitely thankful for that. It's a huge recruiting tool. You're in Dallas, you're in the ACC. It does help with the NIL stuff, but hopefully that does get regulated.
Yeah, I think it'll be coming soon. I don't know how that's going to look. Maybe one day it's university employees instead of collectives that are going out getting money. Maybe Title IX plays a part into it. I think it probably has to at some point. I don't know how, but I'm sure it will. The regulation should be coming. But who knows what that'll look like.
Yeah. There was even talks of dissolving the NCAA entirely and just having a general manager for each sport. I remember James Franklin from Penn State. He was in a few other coaches. They at least brought up the idea of having a general manager in college football, and Nick Saban being that guy, which I think that would be very interesting to see, because I'm sure you've seen Nick Saban's takes on just NIL and where that's been going. We've seen a lot of big name coaches step down from their roles because of the landscape, and
right.
I think you, I, and others, we can guess that NIL has a lot to do with that. You've seen Jay Wright from Villanova step down, Coach K from Duke step down, Tony Bennett from Virginia step down, all those basketball coaches, and then Jim Larrañaga from Miami, and then arguably the biggest one of all is Nick Saban from Alabama football. So it's interesting to see where that'll lead. If it ends up being like that, Nick Saban has my vote.
I don't think they liked having to recruit not only new players, but just re-recruiting your team every year. I'm sure these coaches were more authoritative back before. The transfer portal also has played a factor in that. You can stay there for a year, jump somewhere else with no penalty. So couple that with a bidding war with other schools, you have to re-recruit your entire team pretty much every year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great that you mentioned that, because I recently read about Nebraska, Matt Rhule, canceling the spring game.
Yeah.
And that's such a big deal, because on so many levels, because you can understand at least to a degree why Matt Rhule has those concerns, because, you know, he doesn't want coaches watching his players during the spring game, scouting his players, and then poaching his players ultimately. Nebraska football, that's the lifeblood of Nebraska sports up there. And just that's such a huge, and not just that, but tradition as well. It's such a huge tradition in Nebraska sports. But just seeing announcements like that, it makes you wonder how many coaches will follow suit. Are they going to cancel the game entirely? Or are they going to have it behind closed doors? Just things like that. It's definitely something to think about, I think.
And I think on the flip side of things, in recent years, you've had players opting out of bowl games, you know, because they want to, you know, not get hurt, you know, preserve their health for the NFL draft. I mean, but nowadays with the NIL, they may, who knows, maybe in future contracts, they may include in the agreement that you have to participate in every game if you're 100% healthy, or participate in every bowl game, regardless of where it is. There's some positives there, I hope, at least.
Me too. I'm curious to get this from you. There's some, especially for those who haven't had some experience in our industry, there may be some misconceptions out there. Like, oh, you work in sports, the games, you get to meet all the players. Working in sports, I've definitely gotten those, and just in my head, I'm like, no, that's not much, if at all, of what I do. It's a cool perk, but I very rarely get to do that. You get to work all the games,
right.
What's your take on that, and how would you address that to anybody who may be considering working in sports, just so that you let them know that they're getting in for the right reasons?
Yeah, and I think it depends largely on what organization you're working for and what role. If you're the broadcaster for, you know, a minor league team, you're going to have a very close relationship with players and coaches. Or if you're in social media, you have to get contact with them. But if you're working ticket sales for the Dallas Cowboys or a large NFL team, you probably have little to no contact with players and coaches. In my role, I see the coaches often enough. You know, we have a local sandwich shop on campus that I swear the basketball coaches go there every day. So if I go in there, I usually run into them. And then, you know, throughout the week, I may see a coach or an assistant, but you rarely, you know, interact with players. I mean, these are college students where I work with too. So sometimes they're in class or practice or just, you know, out being a college student. So you definitely don't interact with them on a day-to-day basis with large organizations. But minor league-wise, I mean, yeah, if you're fortunate enough to be hanging out at whatever bar or restaurant after the games, you know, that's great. But no, you generally don't see them on a day-to-day basis. You have your schedule of being in the office, doing whatever your role is, and they have their schedule of practicing, traveling, eating, sleeping, whatever it is. You rarely intersect unless your job calls for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just, that's something that I think any prospective sports professional should think about. Like, don't get all tied up into the glitz and glamour. Not to say that it isn't fun, because it is, but, you know, you got to remember why, to what you just said, what you want to do, why you want to do it. And that's a big deal. If anybody listening wants to get into sports, think about that.
One cool perk I will say, though, and it depends on the organization, but at least in Allen, for both of us, if we ever won a championship on the ice, I know you and I would have gotten a ring. So
yes,
there is that perk. Depending on your organization, that you can get a ring.
Yeah, I'm hoping the Royals win the World Series this year, and we'll see. But regardless if I get a ring or not, I'm just happy to be there, and I'd be happy if we win the World Series. But that, to your point, yeah, that would be a huge perk. If I was offered a ring, I would by the Sherman family. I would not turn that down.
An old coworker of ours, Casey. He left to go to the Texas Rangers and timed it right. Was there his first year? There was the year they won the World Series. So yeah, he's got a nice ring at home. I've seen.
He does. Yeah, I'm happy for him, but I'm also jealous.
Right. Me too.
And who knows? They may win it again this season. I would hope. I'd rather it be the Royals, but I'd be happy for the Rangers if they won. Because Bruce Bochy, he's the manager with the Rangers now. But I remember when he was with the Giants, they won the World Series pretty much every other year. It was so funny because in 2010 they won, in 11 they didn't make the playoffs, in 12 they didn't, in 12 they won, 13 they didn't make the playoffs, if I have that correct, and then in 14 they won. So
we'll, it's crazy we'll how see. That works.
Yeah, it's. It's funny. It's funny stuff, but it's cool though. How do you, if at all, cross departmentally, how do you collaborate with other departments?
Sure. With my job right now, like I said at the beginning of this call, I am not a contractor, but you know, I'm a third party, I guess I should say. So I work for Learfield. I don't, you know, work for the university. So, I work very closely with some of the other departments in the athletics marketing, most importantly, because, you know, I go out and sell a sponsorship, you know, let's say it's a promotion during a basketball game. You know, I have to go and make sure it gets activated. So whether that's working with marketing to include it into the game script, whether that's with graphics to, you know, get something created up to put on the Jumbotron during the game, whether it's broadcast, make sure it's, you know, put on the radio a broadcast or anything like that. So I work very closely with those departments. But I would say marketing number one, and we have weekly meetings with them to, you know, hear ideas that they're coming up with to promote and how we can maybe put a partner behind it, or ideas that we've already come up with and have gotten sponsored that they need to implement into the games.
That's very cool. You mentioned that you don't work directly for the university, but at the same time, it's got to be that illustrates just how well you got to get along with other departments, with your coworkers, because you never know when you'll need one another. Because it's not a matter of if, right? Like it's a matter of when, and so it's very important to, you know, just stay on good terms and have that great relationship with them as well. Like, you know, you don't need to be best friends, but you know, either there has to be a great working relationship as well.
Definitely, there has to be a dialogue at least, so that you can have that connection, and then if you need a favor, they help you out, and vice versa.
Absolutely. Well, outside of work, we talked a lot about work, but outside of work, what are some hobbies or interests? I do know you mentioned college sports. I'm a huge fan myself, if I haven't made that clear enough already. But what are some hobbies or interests that help you unwind and also maintain a healthy work-life balance? Because, you know, like I said, in our industry, it can get pretty demanding. So just how do you do that?
Yeah, I'm keeping it in the entertainment field. Obviously, watching sports is a big part of my life. Movies, we talked about Cinemark earlier. So yeah, there is personal ties there. I love to go out to the movies. And then lastly, and a big one, traveling. My wife and I just got back from a trip to Seattle and Vancouver. I was born there. My parents moved when I was 2 weeks old. So I've never been back. So I've never got to see Seattle. So that was a great personal trip for me. And then we managed to make a day trip up to Vancouver. I've never been up to Canada either. So it was a great part of the country and Canada to see. We love traveling. My wife is trying to book a new trip, it seems, every other month. So we'll probably have another one soon.
That's fun. I'm glad you got to go to Seattle and actually appreciate it and just see it and experience it for yourself. And that's something I want to do with Key West, because when I went back there, I was, I think, just getting into high school. I remember it was really beautiful, but I didn't really appreciate it as much as I probably would now. Just as a kid, you have different interests, you have different priorities. So I didn't appreciate it perhaps as I would now. So it's great you got to do that. And also, as a little bonus, visit Vancouver. My family's from Minnesota, and I would definitely love to visit their northern neighbors. I want to go to Toronto and see a TFC game or a Leafs game and just experience the city. It's amazing. The skyline looks beautiful. I'm sure the pictures don't do it justice. I bet Seattle's the same way.
And, very cloudy. That's the one thing I'll say, though. It's very cloudy and rainy at times. But very, very beautiful out there.
Yeah, I have a friend who works up there, so I hear it gets, I hear it can, it can, you know, it rains and gets cold, perhaps more than people would like.
A little too much. I can see why my parents moved.
Well, that's huge. Where do you want to travel next? Where have y'all been thinking?
My wife wants to go up to the Northeast, which another part of the country I've never really seen. I've been up to Boston. But in that Boston, Connecticut, Maine area, I've explored the South a lot. I've explored the Midwest, California a little bit, but never really that Northeast quadrant up there. So I think that's probably next on the list.
That's very cool. I would love to visit Boston someday. I'm a huge hockey guy. Hockey's probably my favorite sport to watch next to college football. Boston's huge. They have four big hockey schools. They have the Bruins. It's a very illustrious sports history up there.
It's a great
but
sports city as a whole too.
Yeah, I would definitely love to visit that. I've never been to the Northeast in general. That sounds like it would be a fun trip for y'all.
Well, I'll send you pictures.
You got it, man. Well, if you I don't know how much, if at all, you've thought about this, but if you weren't working in sports, what do you think you'd be doing instead?
Oh, that is something I haven't really thought of. I'm honestly going into college, my original major, just because I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I picked history, but I'm glad I didn't stick with that route because I wouldn't really know what to do with a history major outside of teach. Having said that, I make my family background. I have a lot of teachers in my family. I also have some lawyers as well, but that never spoke to me. I would say maybe teaching. If I had to pick another career path, I don't know what level, whether that's high school or collegiate, maybe college, just because I do like college sports. But I would have to say teaching of some kind. I don't have a subject in mind, but that would be a fun backup job, I'd say.
I'm trying to picture you as a teacher. I may need a little more time to do that.
Yeah, I'd either be a beloved teacher or a hated teacher, I think. Depending on who took the class.
And if you let your students chew gum.
I think I'd be pretty laid back, I think. But I don't know. Intro to adult life. I don't know. I'd teach some dumb class, something like that. Some easy class, I should say.
An easy class that students don't need.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, add it to the list of the other ones that we have. Cool stuff. I know I'm going all over the place, but who's a mentor or mentor you have in mind who have shaped your career and helped you get to where you are today?
Yeah, I would say, I haven't had a long professional career. Having said that, my first stop with you at the All Americans, a couple mentors that come to mind there were Johnny Mydra, like we talked about. You know, he was the first person to tell me to really get into sponsorship sales. And you know, I'm also thankful when he came aboard that he kept me. Because you never know when a new regime enters in, if they're going to keep people from the old regime. So he definitely, you know, helped shape, how I view things in the sports world and, you know, what I should aspire to be. And then the second person would be Randall Holmes. I don't know if you remember Randall.
I remember Randall.
Yeah, he worked for the City of Allen on the building side of things over there. And he really took me under his wing for sponsorships as well. And he would organize a lot of meetings and you try to sell them, you know, on the city side of things. And he would say, come aboard and try and sell them on some Allen Americans ideas. And so him and I would tag team a bunch of meetings and just how he spoke, how he facilitated the meeting, questions he'd ask, just gestures he would, you know, offer, whether it's complimentary tickets, lunch, whatever that is. I really picked up on that and helped shape my own pitch to what I saw successful people do, like him and Johnny.
That's huge. And it's great you mentioned Johnny, because I feel very much the same way. Johnny, he's such a great guy. I mean, he wasn't just a great boss, he was also a great person. I remember when I was working at the Americans, obviously you remember during your time there with me. But Johnny, I would walk past his office. We didn't have a big office, but I would walk past his office, and he would call me in there randomly just to check on me, just to see how I was doing, just talk about life. And like I mentioned earlier, he allowed me the opportunity to interview a couple candidates for some sales jobs. He respected my experience. He saw leadership potential in me, and I'm incredibly thankful. And he's one of my greatest mentors, and I'm blessed to have called him a boss, and I'm even happier. And and more thankful to call him a friend. And so I'm definitely with you there when it comes to Johnny. Randall was cool too. I didn't see him super often, but he was always very nice, very welcoming, very easy to work with. And that's such a big deal. And not just sports, but in any business.
Right. And he was great. He's a great contact and connection to have in the DFW area for me. He works with a lot of businesses, and he still invites me out to their networking events, and just, he keeps me on his email list of new partners or things that's going on. So it's great to have a contact like him and a good friend as well.
That's great. Those contacts, they're equally important to have after you leave. I would argue that all day long. It's important to stay connected and value those connections and stay in touch. So I'm glad you do that as well, and I'm glad you'll have that great you mentioned you haven't been in the business too long. If you could go back to when you were just starting out, is there anything that you wish you would have known or done differently? And if so, what is that?
I've often thought of that, and more so on just kind of how I got to where I was. And I graduated college early. So had I not done that, and that was on the advice of our academic advisor in school. Had I not done that, you know, I may not have gotten the current position I was in. Had I not agreed to take a sales internship when I never saw myself in a selling role, you know, I wouldn't have had the full-time position. And then later on, I met my wife at the All-American. So to answer your question, though, I don't really think I would have changed anything. It helped me grow professionally, as well as, you know, I got to meet my wife through that. So I think had anything else been changed or been I've done differently, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in this exact position in my house here speaking to you if things would have gone, you know, down a different path.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was gonna say I'm glad you didn't do anything differently, because I probably wouldn't have met you. We probably wouldn't have worked together. I don't know if we'd be talking.
Exactly. I could have stayed in Florida had things gone differently, or I could have never gone out to Florida and not gone in this career path. Yeah, I don't want to change a thing. Put it that way.
I'm glad you didn't, and it sounds like things worked out exactly the way they're supposed to, and I'm super happy for you.
Me too.
Well, in closing, a few things. What's a piece of advice you'd give to somebody who's just starting out in their career, whether that's in sports or perhaps in any other field?
I actually got asked this question not too long ago. Someone was emailing me if we had a potential job opening. So I always give the same advice. I've given it to, I think, a handful of people. It's just always be willing to do anything within an organization. And what I mean by that is, and we talked about this before, if you're an intern and you're asked to be the mascot at a children's birthday party or whatever, do it. If you're asked to go get coffee for a meeting, do it. If you're supposed to make a bunch of cold calls and help get sales for the team, do it. Never say no. When you're starting out, maybe you'll end up liking that position. Just always be willing to try, I guess, is a better way to spin on it.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree with you. As somebody who had to do that early in my career, because first you got to start somewhere, and you have to, like I mentioned before, you gotta find ways to bring value to an organization, whether that's doing the small things. It's all about the small things, I think. You have to show that you care, show that you want to be there, and help yourself stand out. So those are some huge things. Never act like you're above anything, basically.
Right.
What skills or experiences do you think would be essential for somebody in the industry how it is today?
I think this goes for any industry, but being organized and time management are huge. You know, when I first started in Allen, there were some things that, you know, we weren't organized in, mostly our ticketing system, and just people had the wrong seats, people had not enough seats or too many seats, you know, just stuff like that. So just being organized can save a lot of headaches, prevent a lot of angry phone calls. And then just time management, you know, depending on what your role is, if you manage your time well, you can be very effective. So like right now for me, this is not the goof off time. This is the time to, you know, start selling and getting ready for next year. You know, I can goof off or, you know, have some more fun during football season, you know, when I'm supposed to be entertaining clients, but just know how to effectively manage your time.
That's such a big deal. It's great that you mentioned that. I know I knew I I haven't been the most, when I was a kid, I wasn't the most organized guy, especially with time. And I'll be the first to admit that. But I knew going into the industry, all those things that you mentioned, I knew that I had to get better at those. Because like I said, it's the little things. And I would say those qualify as those little things. They're the little things, but they're a big deal. So it's just those are things that you got to pick up on and you got to get good at. And if you're not good at them like I was, you got to get better. So it's great that you shared that. But to close here, what do you think of the Super Bowl, the matchup, and any predictions, things like that?
Honestly, and I've said this to a couple people, I don't really know who I want to win. I'm a Colts fan. I think you knew that. So
yeah.
There is no personal hate or love for either team. You hate to see the same team winning again and again. So I don't think I'm really cheering for the Chiefs, but I'm also not a huge Eagles fan, I guess. But if I had to pick somebody, I think I'll lean towards the Eagles just because I know that they have a couple Florida Gator alums. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is the starting safety. He and I were in a class or two at Florida, so I'm a big personal fan of his. And
that's so cool.
The head coach, Nick Sirianni, was the Colts offensive coordinator prior to that. So
that's
if he
right.
wins it. Makes us look good, I guess. I don't know. So I'll go Eagles. I don't think they're going to win, but that's where I'm personally hoping for.
That's great. I felt the same way with Rashee Rice last year. He went to SMU, and just seeing him get his first championship in his rookie season,
yeah.
It was cool to see. So I'm right there with you. If your guy wins, that's great for Florida football.
He's one of the few jerseys I have in my closet. So yeah, I was a big fan of
his. Oh wow.
He was a freshman when I was a sophomore. I can't remember what class we took, but it was sports media. And we actually had Chad Ochocinco as a guest speaker one day. And Chauncey was, I think, calling him out on Twitter or before class, something like that. But Ocho wanted to race him. And I believe Chauncey left class early for a doctor's appointment. So we never got to see that race. But he was always a talker. And before he even really hit the football field, I was like, I think this guy's going to be special. If he talks to talk, let's see him walk the walk. So yeah, I was always a big fan of his, and like I said, I have one of his jerseys in my closet.
That's so cool, and it looks like he's walking the walk pretty well. I mean, he's in the league, and he's about to play in a Super Bowl.
Right, and he's balling out.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Well, awesome. Ace, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. It's always a pleasure hearing from you, my friend. Hopefully soon we get together, whether that's back home in McKinney or up here in Kansas City. But, it's always great to hear from you. And I really appreciate your insights today and just in everything.
Thank you for having me, Myers. Yeah, this was I'm honored to be the first guest. And I'll close by saying, go Mean Green.
That's right. Love it. Love it. Well, I share the honor. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today's episode of Jake's Takes. If you haven't already, go ahead and follow my page on LinkedIn. I'll get this episode published very shortly. I don't have a date and time set yet, but it will be, I do plan for it to be early next week. But if you haven't already, go ahead and hit that follow button. I really appreciate you guys listening today. Connect with Chase if you haven't already. Great guy. And I know he would be a great resource for any advice or the like. Chase, thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Jake. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, folks. Hope to see you next time.